You're listening to the Empower Series, the first Middle Eastern mental health and wellness podcast by Ali Salama.
Why do you guys think mental health is important, like, for real?
Oh man, that's loaded.
Go first?
Yeah, I think there's so many reasons that it's important. I think mental health is one of the biggest factors on your actual physical health. And like, it's just no joke, because at the end of the day, like, having bad mental health can have real physical repercussions if you don't look after it. Mm. You have like heart issues, you could have, you know what I mean? And you always got to stay on top of that. But
I think for the most part, a lot of us are affected by it, but the conversation has only been, you know, has only become a conversation for the last maybe 5-10 years, more and more. And I think it's really important that we discuss it and talk about it, because like I said, we're all affected by it in some way, whether it's someone we know or us personally. And I think in order for us to kind of understand each other a lot more, just as people, as humans, we need conversations like this that open up about things that are hard to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. It used to be something I remember too, like, not too long ago, where if somebody had some sort of anxiety attack or an issue like that it was awkward. It was like weird. Yeah. But now it's almost like it's a space where, you know, people can have panic attacks, and that's like totally normal. Right. Somebody's like, oh yeah, like I went through that the other day, and it's not, people don't feel like self-conscious about saying it as much anymore.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
yeah. I mean, you, JR, you did a video about that, remember? Can you talk a bit more about what it meant to you?
For me, that was actually a huge step, and I realized, like, I find a lot of ways that I cope with mental health and stuff like that, was first identifying that it was something that affected me personally.
Yeah.
And using things like my voice and my platform to share how I felt.
Mm.
And in a way, it kind of helped me get over that, because for the longest time with travel and what I do, I found that instead of just enjoying moments, I was also running away from a lot of my problems.
Yeah.
And it was only until I decided to make this video when I was in Iceland, where I confronted everything that I was running from, that I actually realized, number one, I wasn't alone. And number two, that by doing so, by making the conversation known, I was able to kind of understand myself a lot more and deal with it and cope with it. It's not 100%, you know, it's never going to be gone, but now I'm in a better place mentally, I could say, and that was a huge step in that, for sure.
Have you ever have you ever been to a point or a low that you had to seek help or
almost? I can identify, like, around October of last year, I was in a really, really dark place.
Yeah.
Like, the darkest place I've ever been. And I call it, like, the sunken place, because no matter what I did, I didn't feel like I could get out of it. Like, everything that made me happy didn't make me happy.
Yeah.
And my confidence, like, the main thing was so low. For me, like, my rock, like, the person I always talk to is my mom. So she was there to help me, like, through a lot of it. But I also found different coping mechanisms. I tried to do things that I love to do that wasn't just my profession. So I got into, like, trying to understand and learn music, you know, take time to meditate, read books, just occupy my time. So I felt like I was still productive and I was still doing things, you know, even at the end of the day, I did something, a little thing I could be like, okay, this I accomplished something today, you know. I'm proud that I'm alive and I'm still kicking. I'm gonna get through this. Yeah.
What about you, Pat?
Yeah, no, kind of going off of that, I think, you know, taking your mind, not necessarily just taking your mind off of the problem, but I guess doing what keeps you happy, even knowing that there's darkness in the back of your head, is a good way to just keep pushing forward too. And if you can kind of like tunnel that into motivation and you can kind of take it and go positively with it, I think obviously you can do great things. And, you know, sometimes it'll even make you work at a faster pace. I think if, you know, you're having a really hard time, it might even give you more motivation to succeed if you can channel it the right way. Whereas, you know, if you're, not to say that doing okay is not great, you know, like being happy is amazing, but sometimes you get into this like comfortable position where, you know, you're just chilling, like you're okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you take that negative energy and you can channel it the right way, you know, kind of like what you're doing with the music and stuff, like you just started making music and you're already uploading tracks on like SoundCloud, which is like wild. So if you can take some of that negative energy and you channel it in the right directions, you can do some wild things with it. But
And the thing is, we also need to understand that there's no such thing as constant happiness, right? Like,
exactly.
Like trying to, like, the be foolish and say that I'm always going to be happy. That, first of all, that takes a lot of effort to be always in a constant state of happiness, and it's just simply unrealistic to always be happy. So we need to understand there are highs and lows, because at the end of the day, they balance out and have a very steady life and medium. Because as much as we need highs, I mean, I had a really good week the other week, and I was just like, It's been a while since I have had a bad day, and guess what just happened? The next day I said that.
Yeah.
I had a really bad day, and I was like, wow. But you need those bad days, and guess what? Like, the year before, I was struggling from my worst depression. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the contrast here is incredible, right? And yeah. I feel that we need to understand that it's okay not to be happy, but it's not okay to just let that sort of consume us and think that if we're not happy, then there's something wrong with us, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
I think kind of going off of what you were saying with you kind of need those lows, even like with respect to our Egypt trip, there were some of the lows like made the trip great.
Yeah.
Like some of those experiences that we had were experiences that like we won't ever forget, and then we can look back on them now and just think like we like made it through that. Like the 100%. Fact that we just happened to get stuck in the middle of the night in a huge sandstorm and our Jeep was buried. Like, I'm sitting here thinking I'm gonna die. JR has his like vlog camera out and like refusing to push. Footage. He's like refusing to tip the Jeep back out of the sand because he's like filming it. But yeah, no, that ended up like looking back on that. That was an amazing experience, and like I wouldn't have wanted to change that. Like I'm glad that that happened. Although at the time it was like stressful. It's, you know, it's good to look back on for sure. Yeah.
I mean, my next thing is that we're all guys here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Men find it very difficult to talk about mental health and emotions, and we can't deny that, right? We're all guys here. We're 100%. It's very hard to open up to a friend, and even if we open up, it's so hard to go all the way, just because, you know, we're nurtured by our moms, and there has to be this feminine type of energy.
Yeah.
But my point here is, why is it that or how can we actually, let me rephrase that, how can we as guys overcome this stigma within one another? Because statistics are factual, and they state that guys are more likely to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you guys comment on that?
Yeah, I think socially being brought up, like, you know, obviously, like, being a male, you know, you kind of like unfortunately have this stigma of being like the tough male, like the dominant figure. And, you know, obviously men and women should be equal, like that's a huge thing, but it's always just been like a stigma that the man just has to be this like mental powerhouse, you know. And it's tough because it's ingrained in a lot of people's heads in general, and I think there's still going to be a little bit of time before it's fully accepted as a guy to go up to another guy and be like, hey man, like I'm having like an issue, you know. I think it's getting a lot better, but I think it's going to still be a little while before it's going to be like perfectly normal, because, you know, there is still those immature people that will, you know, make fun of somebody else and be like, ah, that guy's got problems. Like, you hear about what Jeff said the other day, but at the end of the day, like, it's going in a better place really quickly, but it's still going to be a little while, I think.
For sure. I think the main thing is continuing to keep that discussion and that openness, especially like reflecting on like social media. I think we need to be more transparent with each other. I feel like for the most part, still today, like, we all love to show all our highlights. And I think as a collective whole, even male, female, like whatever, like if we can all continue to share not only our good, but our bad moments, mm-hmm. I think as a whole, it's going to show us that, you know, like you said, it's okay sometimes to not be okay, but we gotta definitely break that cycle. Mm-hmm. Because like you mentioned, it's still like that, you know, that this discussion is hard, especially for males.
Yeah.
What about for creators? What are they like? What responsibility do they hold? I mean, Alex Hayes did a video not too long ago, talking about mental health.
I think especially in our sphere, like this travel filmmaking sphere, for the most part, the way we create our videos and the way we reach our audience is by sharing these messages and of motivation and inspiration to be like, you know, this is my life and this is what I do. But it's a thin line between this is my life and making it seem like it's unattainable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by breaking, and the only way you need to break that is it's our responsibility as creators to, again, show the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Because it's these unrealistic expectations. It's like it is hurting. It's hurting this next generation. Yeah. Generation. And we don't even really realize it. But, you know, these big culprits, like, you know, scrolling through Instagram, you find yourself by the end of it, for the most part, if you're not following the right people. Like,
you feel like dissatisfied.
Yeah.
You're like, what am I doing?
Exactly.
But these people also have lows, right? But they're obviously not showing it. And you're sitting there looking at it, being like, shit, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
In comparison is the thief of joy. And that's something we all do subconsciously when we're on social media. And that's why it's so super important to follow the right people. Mm-hmm. And it's just as simple as an unfollow button. And people don't get it, right?
Yeah.
That's something that we really have to be very, very aware of. But as influencers, so here we are with Pat and with JR, you do feel a lot of pressure to deliver, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
Can you elaborate? Because a lot of people doing what now, a lot of influencer entrepreneurs that heavily depend on their work online, especially YouTubers, have to maintain this lifestyle. How do you guys do it? How do you keep up with the pressure? There's a lot of things that people out there want to know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it takes too much of a toll on you, right?
100%. Mentally, physically.
Yeah. I think you've been pretty good. I think JR has been pretty good in general of staying true to, like, his style when it comes to client. Mm-hmm. So, like, whenever somebody reaches out and goes, like, hey, I need this, they come out with, like, very, like, specific needs. Mm-hmm. But to be able to combat that and say, okay, but, like, this is my style, this is how I make videos, mm-hmm. like, this is, like, you kind of need to...
So being able to say no, basically.
Or to meet in the middle to the point where your style is still... You're not just selling out, essentially. Yeah. You know, like, you're enjoying the collaboration. Yeah. They're enjoying the collaboration, and both parties are getting what they should get out of it.
Exactly.
And I mean, the only other thing that I'd say as far as pressure goes is when somebody that you're working with, like, doesn't really know, you know, what they want. So if you're trying to make a video for, like, a client or a company or whatever, or a brand, and they kind of give you these really vague expectations, and you don't really know, like, what do I do with this, you know? Exactly. And then maybe you do the video and they don't like it. Mm-hmm. But you're like, I'm just going off of your vague statement that you gave me.
Right.
But
I think the main thing too is, like you mentioned, when you work with clients, when you work with brands, and you're trying to build this thing, you need to stay true to yourself. You need to stay grounded and remember, you know, the people that were there with you and everything that makes you who you are. Because it's so easy to get lost in it, and especially, you know, when you're trying to make money and you're pushing. And the thing is too, a lot of people don't realize how much of a mental struggle it is, especially when it comes to social media and doing this. I'm grateful for the opportunity, but I also, it's a lot of stress, you know, because people think that the idea of being a YouTuber, it means like you're around people all the time, but 90% of the time you're sitting alone and you're in your own thoughts and you're in your own head and you're editing and you're working long nights, and it can get to you. But for the most part, that balance is hard because, and you have to find that balance. You need people around you that are strong, that will listen, that understand you. You also need to be very, very strong with yourself, and take time for yourself, because it's easy to fall into this trap of just working and grinding, and, you know, late nights turn into later nights, and you're in your head so much that, like, you kind of lose yourself. And so if you don't take some time to step back and not just work only, then
So here's one thing that that really strikes me out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that you maximize your creativity without hindering your mental fatigue? Because there has to be a balance that we must strike, right? Yeah. A lot of people, like, you have this culture that's telling you grind, success and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But when do you draw the line as JR, when you're making a video,
mm-hmm.
as to, no, this is when I have to stop, because that, if I go beyond that, I'm going to hinder the quality of the video.
Exactly. I think I'm still trying to learn that every day. It's tough. Some projects I'll go towards the end of it, finish it, and I'm like I kind of lost a little bit of myself in this, you know? I feel like you put so much energy and heart into something sometimes that you don't realize how hard you push yourself.
Mm.
And again, like, you're your biggest critic.
Yeah.
You know? So sometimes it's self-awareness, but I think the more you do creative work, the more you understand yourself, sometimes you need to take that step back and evaluate what you did and be like, okay, like maybe I shouldn't have pushed as hard this time. Like maybe I should have took a break here. I think it's all trial and error. You know, the more you do things creatively, the more you understand yourself too. So, yeah.
So my next question is for Pat. I know that you took a hard hit losing your mom.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really big event in your life. I'm pretty sure a lot of people go through life losing someone that's that dear to them.
Yeah, definitely.
How is that cycle? I know this is a very deep question. But,
yeah, no. Yeah, it's definitely tough. It affects you in like the same ways as you just like not really wanting to do anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, it can either go two ways, right? Like you can either sit there and waste away from the thought of how upset you are over something, or you can kind of like hold on to the fact that like I should probably try and make this person proud. Like whether it's like your grandfather, whether it's a parent or your sibling, you know, cancer hits pretty much everybody at some point, but I think it's more about trying to kind of live on that person's legacy.
Yeah.
My mom always liked to travel. She'd always wanted to travel. We had done like big trips right before she passed away and stuff like that. So I think it's a lot more about living on their legacy and kind of, you know, holding on to that motivation and then pushing forward. Because if you dwell in it, you know, it's just going to hurt you and literally everybody else around you, because people want to see you succeed. You know, there's a lot of people that would give you that, especially now in this age where mental health is becoming a better, you know, more talked about thing. Like people want to see, you know, vulnerability.
Mm.
And but if you're just going to, you know, sit in it and not really, you know, try and take that motivation and use it in a positive way, I think that, you know, you could end up in a much worse place. Yeah. So,
and you even made a clothing line for it. You even made a clothing line that, right?
Yeah. So I mean, just kind of going off of that, even like I figured, why not for the first drop that I want to do, donate a percentage of it to some sort of cancer research that I choose, because I've always wanted to do that. But like, I think it's great donating like at the tills at like Tim Hortons or something like that.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to kind of like do something creative while also donating at the same time. So I'm in the process of doing that.
Yeah. And I think that our generation, especially millennials, are being much more conscious about their lifestyle. So, I mean, right now it's not about working for the biggest brands as much as it's working with balance, right?
Yeah.
Work-life balance. Like we've seen companies right now, I mean, on Bay Street, Fortune 500, they all know millennials' top priorities. Even a business school, they preach that. It's how are we going to keep our employees loyal to us, because the turnover rate is insane. Why? Because of burnout.
Yeah.
Because people don't care about how much they're getting paid, because past 60K or past a number close to that per year, it really doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, how do you guys balance your life? You probably have a specific agenda, or you probably have a specific compass in your mind that you navigate within. How does, a lot of people really want to know that.
Yeah,
I think, you know, for me, it's a lot about, nothing's just gonna happen overnight. You can't expect to come out with the next huge video or book the next biggest thing overnight. So kind of like going off of what JR said earlier too, taking that time for yourself. Like for me, I like training, like I like working out or like doing gymnastics or like doing stuff like that. Like taking that time to yourself, even if it is like an hour or two, is really not gonna hinder your work ethic at all. In fact, taking that time to do something is probably gonna push you. You're going to finish that workout and you're going to feel great, and you might want to come back and work on whatever you're doing a lot more. So like for me, it's been a fitness thing particularly. Yeah. I think
for me, I've just been experimenting with a bunch of different things. I used to, it's so funny, because when I used to just grind and do videos and shoot videos, I always looked at like when people would like pick up the guitar and try it for like a 6 months and then get over it. I'm like, why do you just do something that you know you're not going to really commit to? And then I realized that like sometimes you just need time to do things just for fun that no one may ever see or hear.
Yeah,
because those things, there's no pressure, and it makes you happy, you know, you're just doing it. So for me, like sometimes I'll like try and like learn how to create music or produce music. I'll read, I'll meditate, I'll write. I love writing.
Do you journal?
Yes,
every
all
day?
The time. Not every day, but whenever I have like a thought or something, especially quotes, like things that come in my mind that I want to document, I'll always write it down. And it's never chronological, but it's always thoughts, just the way to keep.
You know, it's scientifically proven to significantly increase the quality of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a daily journal. Like, I can't miss a day without writing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like random stuff. Like, there's a difference between diaries and journals. Exactly. You don't understand. Diaries are chronological.
Mm-hmm.
Journals are more artistic. So it works perhaps for people like us, right?
And cool.
More people in the world, especially men, that don't like to have sort of, you know, barriers or.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that people need to also understand that having sort of a journal that you can jot anything down, it doesn't even be thoughts, you can just a doodle journal,
right? So important.
Exactly. One last thing I wanted to discuss with you guys, what would you say to someone that watches your videos and is going through something and is probably thinking, Jera's someone I'd like to be someone like someday, or Pat is someone that I'd like to be, you know, in their shoes someday. They're living in Toronto. You know, a lot of people that watch your videos and are probably going to be listening to this podcast aren't even from Toronto. We live in a global world, and people always are wondering how your life could be. And what's one thing that you would actually say to them, no matter what circumstances they're going through?
Yeah,
I mean, like, this is going to sound like super cliche, and you know, a lot of people have said this, but I mean, just continuing to do, if it's film in particular, I think, you know, doing it because you love doing it and because it's fun, and not taking it too seriously, for me, that was like a big thing. Like, just being able to enjoy and like having fun with it is, in my opinion, what takes everything to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Being happy with doing it and just like having that first feeling of just picking it up, but doing that all the time. Like, just like, you know, if you're gonna go out to like the grocery store, like make a little edit or something, like just do some stuff that doesn't matter and then practice that, and like that you might get really good, and the next thing you know, you might get a deal by chance, or you know, or you meet the right people. But I just think loving what you're doing and doing it just because of that and not doing it because of the pressure, I think, is like key.
Yeah,
I think for me, one of the main things I always say is never trade what is going on in your life with anyone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, don't be afraid to be vulnerable and share the things that make you unique, because that's the way people will connect to you, you know, because we're all different, but like it's those differences, if we can highlight it and show it in a positive light, it's that's how people will connect to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to filmmaking, it's always a learning process, and enjoy all those moments where it's not going right or you're struggling, because you'll look back on it and you'll be so proud that you got through all those things. And as long as you wear everything on your sleeve that, you know, makes you who you are, especially all the things that you had to get through, you'll realize like that's what makes you strong, you know. That's what'll separate you from everyone else. So if you're going through something, it always remember it always gets better, and use all that as motivation.
Yeah. So the idea here is to like turn the stigma of mental health into a source of power, which is why we've called the podcast series the Empower series.
Mm. Right.
It's taking that M before the power, and that's why sort of all the questions are biasedly channeled towards, you know, getting the most out of you guys from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I think until we see, you know, mental struggles being a source of power, whether it's personal empowerment or whether it's personal growth, until we see that from a different perspective, I think people will see people with mental illnesses differently and not stigmatize them and segregate them in our society, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That concludes our podcast, and I think if you guys have anything to say that you'd like to say that I didn't previously mention, go for it.
Just, I appreciate being on the podcast. This was a lot of fun.
It's certainly not your typical sort of questions that you get asked every day.
I mean, ever since we met you in the coffee shop when we had that original meeting about talking about going to Egypt, I remember we had even like brought up the fact that, you know, all the energy was just so good.
Thank you, man.
All the energy, it was just all about the energy for sure. And it really did show, I mean, after everything that happened. So
I totally believe in energy. I think that the most important thing you can't fake in life is energy.
For sure.
Like whether it's us sitting here or whether it's about a topic. And I think that that's the only reason why you guys are where you're at, because it's authentic, it's real. And if people stick to that, no matter how low they are, that's the only way they're going to get out. So thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Great way to wrap it, dude.
Thank you.
Make sure to subscribe to the Empower newsletter to get the latest news about our exclusive guests on the show. New publications and articles every Friday.